pray, that's each of our prayers this morning, that His Spirit would make us humble, that His Spirit would draw us to that place of humility before a holy God. Because that's where we belong, and that's what we should do, and it should be our response every time we have the opportunity to come into His presence. I'm thankful today that we have that opportunity. We talked last week about the attitude of gratitude and how we as Christians ought to have that attitude of gratitude. And we talked about how it all starts with gratitude in our heart. You're never going to be thankful until you're thankful inside. Amen? It starts with our hearts, the gratitude in our hearts. And then we said that gratitude will then gravitate outside into the household of God. And I'm thankful that last week, we as a congregation, I pray that you were thankful for what God has done for us collectively. And then we see that then permeates through the gratitude in our habits. We live our lives out of appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not out of obligation. And I spoke to you a little bit about the difference in the two. And I pray that you understand that, because there's a lot of people who they feel obligated to live for Jesus because Jesus died for them, because they're obligated because what they're doing is they're trying to keep or to earn salvation. We are never to live a life of obligation, but a life of appreciation for what He's already done for us, for what He did for us before we ever could deserve it. In fact, the Bible says, while we were in our sin, Christ died for us. So before we ever knew what was going on, before we ever knew we were sinners, while we were still enjoying ourselves in the midst of our filth, the Bible said that's where Christ died for you. So now then that we've received such grace, we live our lives out of appreciation for what He has done. For the things that we see, even the things that we've yet to see, that we know according to the promises found in the Word of God, we can be thankful and live a lifestyle of appreciation for what is to come. So we talked about that last week, the Christian attitude of gratitude. How many of you found yourself this Thanksgiving really thinking about that maybe a little more than in the past? About how even when maybe the ham doesn't turn out just right, or the turkey doesn't do exactly what you expected it to do. Every time I think of turkeys not doing what they were expected to do, I think of Roger and his smoked turkey from a few years ago. He tried to smoke a turkey, and man, it looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it was just mush. And I've laughed about that. And the thing is, what's funny about that is it never turns out the way we expect it to turn out, but did you find yourself being thankful in the midst of that? And I found myself being thankful in the middle of the woods, up in a tree. I'm thankful to God that I had that opportunity to just get away for a little while, gather my thoughts. And I want to bring you a message this morning that's going to be a little different. It's not going to be the traditional message. It's going to be a little different. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture, and I hope that's okay with you people who don't mind looking at a lot of Scripture. A lot of Scripture in a lot of different places. But I was in the stand, and I was thinking about how, actually one passage in particular in Philippians where Paul starts off, and he begins to thank God for the church members that he's writing to. He begins to praise God for them. Now understand, I said earlier to some guys, I said, there's a difference in being thankful and being thankful toward God. Does everybody understand that? We can be thankful in our mind that we have a good family. We can be thankful that we have a good job. But are we placing that thankfulness where it belongs? And He who's doing all the good things that we see. How many of you know He is the giver of all good things? And so there's a difference in just being thankful and being thankful toward God. And I was sitting there thinking about how Paul didn't mind in Philippians, in the first chapter there, thanking God for those believers. And he specifically, goes into detail about what he's thankful that God is doing with and in and through them. And so I was excited about that, and I read, and I said, man, this is a neat attitude to have. I probably don't have this attitude enough. An attitude of thankfulness for all you guys and for what you do. I said, Paul must be on to something, because it was very encouraging. And I thought, what if I was one of those people who received that letter in that church? And many of these churches, for what he was thanking them for, were already going through persecution. They were already suffering for the name of Christ. And to receive that letter where their leader just kept pushing them and encouraging them, hey, I'm thankful to God for what He's doing through you and in you. Stay the course. Stay the course. So I said, well, man, that was Paul's attitude. I'm sure it's going to be a theme through everything that he wrote. And I've read many of these things and most of the time read over them. But I want to look specifically at some verses of Scripture today where Paul starts out communicating to the church how thankful he is for them. If you have your Bible, we're going to go on a journey. So just go ahead and go to Romans. It's Acts and then Romans if you're new to this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament, and then go to Acts. And I tell people this all the time. There's a lot of new believers here. Don't you ever look at somebody in shame if they have to go to their index to find out where they're going. At least they're going. Everybody understand? I was that kid in my youth group who the other kids would make fun of me because I would ease over there to my index to find out where Job was. And couldn't figure out for the life of me why that preacher kept calling it Job. Because I knew my teacher had told me it was Job. I know what I'm talking about. So I would hide when I was looking at my index and that, so that my spiritual friends didn't see me. And I realized how stupid that was. You should have encouraged me. So man, keep looking because you're going to find out where things are by doing that. So don't ever be afraid to do that. Listen, don't ever be afraid. I had a young teenager ask me the other day, I'm not sure how to find things in the Bible. I said, keep looking for them. Go to that index in the front. It'll show you where everything is. You just keep going. And eventually, you'll memorize those things. You'll know exactly where it is. Then what will happen? Somebody will buy you a new Bible and it's not going to be exactly where it was. You're going to have to relearn. You're going to have to flip. Man, I could do 3/4 of this and get to Romans, but now I can't do that. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8. This is what he says first. This is Paul to the church, and he says this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. I want to read all these texts, but for the sake of time, I'm not. Just go through there and see how thankful Paul is. That's Romans. He starts out the book of Romans. And all the theology that we can get from the book of Romans and all the insight that we can gather from the book of Romans into grace and into the sacrifice of Christ and into so many things, we miss over the fact that he started with being thankful to the church. He's thankful for them as individuals, and he's thankful to God for what they've done. And then I continue to flip on and go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right at the beginning again. Verse 4, different place, different group of people, same body of Christ, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Here's what he says to them. Verse 4, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed to you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And then so on and so forth. An attitude of thankfulness to those believers. Wow. Two books. First few verses. Paul saying, I thank God for you. For the congregation of the saints that meet there. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Just keep going right. I made it easy for you. You're going to get out of the Corinthian letters. It's going to go to Galatians. Then you're going to go to Ephesians. Then you're going to go to Philippians. Here we go again. Philippians, first chapter, 3rd verse. He says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. I found myself doing this in a deer stand this week, just thinking of individuals in our church. Just thinking of you, and by name, in my mind, thanking God for you. For what I've seen God do in and through you. For the continued work that I'm seeing the Holy Spirit do. We're going to get to some of that in a minute. But as I read this, I said, man, that's where I am right now. Thanking God when I remember these people. Because you know what? It's hard. Our church has grown so much. It's hard for me to individually speak with every one of you every time we meet. It's hard for me to go up and say, thank you so much for your service to God. And I'm thanking God for the work that he's doing in you. I'm thanking God for the work that others are benefiting from that he has you doing. Thank you. I thank my God every time I remember you. All my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, you've always been there with me. I'm thankful for that. Let me tell you something. Some of you folks have been here at Key Life Fellowship the whole time. As your pastor, I say thank you. Thank you that you've been here with me through the ups, through the downs, through the construction project. I'm thankful that you've been here and that you've made it, we've made it together. we keep reading some things that he writes. Colossians, flip over there, watch this. Third verse, first chapter, starts it off again with the same theme. Thankfulness. It says this, verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. He's now thankful because the grace that set you free, you're now using to set people around the world free from their sin through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm thankful for that. We continue reading on. Anybody getting tired of this yet? What a theme he has going here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Flip a few pages over, you're there. He can tell everybody. We looked at almost everything Paul wrote this morning, just not in its entirety. 1 Thessalonians, but man, he sure starts out with a thankful heart for the believers, doesn't he? Because it's easy, I promise you, it's easy to complain about all of you. I'm a testimony of that. I can complain with the best of them. It's easy to notice what you're not doing, right? But Paul's not taking time to notice what they're not doing, because I promise you, there's some things they're not doing. In fact, some of his letters continue on, and he rebukes them in some areas. But first and foremost, he says, I'm thankful. So here's the thing. If you have a legitimate gripe or complaint, that's legitimate, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is, that doesn't give you an excuse not to still be thankful first and foremost. He goes on. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians, verse 2, chapter 1. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The same Paul who writes about faith, hope, and love stays true to that theme, doesn't he? In thanking God for what he's seeing in the lives of these people. 1 Thessalonians, he's thankful to the church, to God for what God's doing in these folks' lives. Look, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. Watch what he says here. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. He said, we ought to always find ourselves thankful to God for you. So we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Man, how powerful a statement is that? So we ought to be thankful because we're seeing God do a work in each of you. And we're seeing it. How did Jesus say you would know they were his disciples? Their love for one another. He says, and I'm seeing it in the way you love each other. I can say that about this church. I guarantee you. I can see it in the way you love one another, the way you take care of one another. And I'm thankful to God for that. Keep on going. 1 Timothy, he wasn't as thankful. No, he was still thankful, but skip over to 2 Timothy. He says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He says for us, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. We know he's writing directly to Timothy, and he takes the time to say, Timothy, I thank God for you. I'm going to tell you, what we're about to do, what we're about to see, I've never seen done in the church, so I'm kind of apprehensive about this. I really am. Because it takes some humility to do what we're about to do, but I promise you, I'm very thankful that God has led me to do this. We keep reading. Go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, skip Titus, go to Philemon. If you're from the south, you can go to Philemon. Same place. Chapter 1, verse 4. He says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. What is he saying? He's saying once again to another house church, I thank God for you and what I see God doing in you. And so I sat there and I looked at all these things and I said, you know, I, as a leader of a body of believers, have not done enough. I got really convicted. I've not done enough in saying thank you. I try, I promise, in my human effort, I try to when I see somebody doing something that deserves encouragement. I try to say, hey, thank you. But a lot of times, here's the thing, I'm saying thank you because you're doing something that I don't have to do, and I've been doing a whole lot all by myself for a long time. And I'm not truly saying, thank God for you. Thank God for you, that I am thankful to the Father for you and the work that He is raising you up to do in this body of believers and in this world. So what I want to do today, I want to give some due thanks to God, that I, as your pastor, have to stop for just a second and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've not been thankful to you enough for all of these folks and what they do. Yes, I am human, and I am the guy who's quick to complain about what you're not doing and say, God, why can't they get this right? God, why can't they do this right? And you know this, I bet some of you probably look at me and say the same thing, and that's okay. But I pray at the end of our time together today that we have a whole new appreciation to God for what He's doing in the lives of these people. So I sat there for a moment and I said, you know what? I haven't been thankful enough to God. I haven't been thankful enough to God for those who've been saved in this church. I'm thankful that you're not going to hell. And I'm thankful that you're forgiven. And I'm thankful that one day we'll be with Jesus together. But I've not gotten to the point many times where I am just overwhelmed and thankful to God. Why is that important? Because He's doing the whole work. He's doing the whole work. Watch this. I want everyone in this congregation that has been saved since you started coming to Key Life Fellowship, or since Key Life Fellowship existed, would you stand to your feet right now? Y'all stay up for me. Please stay up for me. I want to say this to each of you. If I can even say it, keep my composure at all. I am thankful God that this nobody, because I promise you, I'm a nobody, that this nobody gets to be a part of something so huge in the kingdom of God. Do you understand this? I get to witness and say, thank you, God, for being faithful to your word, that when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, you call people out of darkness into light, and He's called each of you who are standing right now in the short time that we've been a body of believers. And I promise, if Paul was writing you today, he would say, I thank God for the salvation that each of you received that none of you deserve, but that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ and comes by the grace of God from our Heavenly Father. I said, Lord, forgive me for not staying in a constant attitude of thanksgiving for those who've been saved in this congregation, those who have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the Spirit's drawing, the Spirit's wooing them out of their sin and into a life of righteousness for His name's sake. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for each of these people who are standing here today. God, I thank you because it had nothing to do with what I said, nothing to do with my life, but only the work that you're doing in our midst. God, I thank you and I praise you for them, each and every single one. God, I pray that we continue to see more and more added to this body daily, being saved by your grace and your mercy, so that we can be careful to come back and say, God, I thank you for the new ones who've been saved this time. We give you praise. I'll be seated. Please understand that I'm thankful to God that each of you heard the gospel, received the faith to believe the gospel, were lavished with the grace of God through that same gospel, washed of all your sin through the blood that was shed in accordance with that gospel. I'm thankful that each of you, because of what God has done, will one day spend an eternity with the rest of us around the throne of Jesus Christ, praising Him forever. And so I said, Lord, I want to be thankful to you for those who've been saved in this congregation. Then I moved on and I said, not only that, I've seen lots of people really grow in faith since they have been saved or since they have been here with us. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for those who are growing in the Spirit in this congregation. Those of you who are growing in Christ. How many of you would say this? And listen, I promise you, all glory and praise goes to Him. How many of you would say, I have grown in my Christian life? Maybe I was already a Christian when I came here, or maybe I was one of the ones who stood up a second ago. It's okay if you stand up again. How many would say, I have grown in my Christian life? I have grown in the Spirit since we started attending here at this body of Key Life Fellowship. How many would stand as a testimony to God? Would you stand as a testimony to God? That I have grown in understanding the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Folks, look around. Do you understand this? There are people right now who are frustrated in churches because they haven't grown in years. And you don't grow because of Kirk Hall. And you don't grow because of your Bible study leaders. You grow because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So all praise and thanksgiving goes to God who put Him there. And here's the thing. You don't grow because you don't put effort into it. You grow because you put effort into growing. And I'm thankful to God right this very moment. If Paul was writing this, he would say, I'm thankful to God for those of you who we've witnessed grow in your faith. Some of you who were not even Christians 7 or 8 years ago have now been saved, and you've grown to a point where you're leading Bible studies and you're being used by God. Some of you have devoted yourself to studying the Word of God, and you come to me and you say, man, I know I'm bothering you, but I got another question. You're never bothering me about questions from the Word, I promise you. I could sit there and talk to you all day long, because what I see is I see someone who wants to know Him and to know Him more. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those of you who do attend those reach groups. How many of you say, I grow in those reach groups every time I grow? You know, this is the facts. We built Key Life Fellowship off of a simple thing that God gave us. And we really, He didn't give it to us. We just kind of went over from Acts and borrowed it. People ask all the time, what's your secret? There's no secret. It's 2,000 years old. We live by this principle. Every one of you who've gone through a new member class, you learned these three statements. What are they? Receive, relate, and respond. That our objectives here is to see that people receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second objective is that they learn to relate to other believers and they learn to relate to Christ as they grow in their relationship to Christ. And then our third thing, and we're going to talk about that in a second, is that one day they respond to that by doing the Great Commission and going out and ministering to others that they may come to Christ. It's that simple. What's funny is experts, people who know more than me, ask me, well, what are y'all doing? And I feel really stupid when I go so elementary on them and I say, well, we're teaching people to reach up, reach in, or receive, relate, and respond. They look at me like, you've lost your mind. It can't be that simple. When I go back to the Word of God, it is that simple, isn't it? You notice that's what Jesus did with His followers? He said, receive me as your Savior. I'm going to teach you how to relate to this new life that I'm giving you. How to relate to each other. How to relate to the lost world out there. And then I want you to go out and I want you to respond in serving them and ministering to them. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Pretty simple concept, isn't it? I don't have to put a tag on that. I don't have to label that. Just say, man, we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. Why? Because we owe all to Him. Thanks be to God for what He's done. Those of you who are growing in the Spirit, you can sit down. Those of you who are studying the Word, you're active in your reach group. Some of you started attending men's huddle. Some of you started attending ladies' Bible study. All the other outlets that you have to grow. I love to see someone who's hungry. Huh? I got another preacher in the house. Isn't it good to see somebody who's hungry? When they're just eating it up, they just want to know. They want to know more of the Word. They want a closer fellowship as they understand this Word and understand that closeness that Jesus has already made for them. They want it. They want all that they can get in this lifetime that they can actually comprehend with their human mind. It's exciting to see those things. And I see those things in some of you. Let me say this. I thank God for that. I thank God for those of you who have surrendered your life to ministry, who you're sitting there and you're waiting, Lord, when's my time? He'll let you know when His time is, I promise. You'll know it because you'll be walking in it before you know it. Just be patient and continue to grow, continue to learn. I'm thankful to the students who come here every single week on Sunday nights and they want to grow in their faith. A lot of you don't know this because you don't have any part in that, and that's okay. You're not cool enough. I don't have any part in it, as you're wondering. But the thing is, what's cool is if you are cool enough to witness that, you'll see that we have a strong group of teenagers who really love Jesus, who are growing in their faith. I pray that that continues, and I thank God for that. So as I sit there thinking about these things, I said, Lord, I thank you so much for those students who they really want to know your word more. They want to live your word more. They want to walk in your spirit. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that some of you are learning to pray for other people. I love it. That's the only kind of likes I like on Facebook, is when you like a prayer request. I don't like when you see someone bad-mouthing someone that they shouldn't bad-mouth and you like it. That's not good. But when someone says, hey, my aunt is sick and she has cancer and we don't know how long she's going to live, I like to see about 400 or 500 likes from this body. I know this, that you are learning to pray for other people. You're learning to stop what you're doing and give some time just to ask God to intervene on behalf of those who are in need and who are hurting. I'm thankful that some of you are growing in that and learning. So we see that we, or me, as your leader, ought to be thankful to God for those of you who have been saved, those of you who are growing in the Spirit. And then he moved me a step further. I told you there's a receive, a relate, and a respond. Some of you are really getting it. I want to say thanks be to God for that. Some of you are really getting it. I love when somebody comes to me and they say something silly like this. It's silly to me. I know it's funny. I mean, it's not silly to you. It's serious to you. But they come to me and they say, Pastor, I see a need. Is there any way that I could be a part of starting a ministry to help these people? I look at them like, are you crazy? What pastor in his right mind would say, no, absolutely not. You cannot help a person that you see in need. I promise you, I get thrilled. I get thrilled when someone schedules an appointment with me and they come to my office. It's not to tell me something that I said wrong in some passage that they interpreted wrong anyways. It's when they come to sit down and say something like this. Hey, Pastor, I don't want you to think this is silly, but God is leading me to do something for other people. You fill in the blank, whatever that is. Here's the thing. I thank God when someone comes to do that. Not nearly enough, but I promise you, I want to be that person who just as Paul did, thank you, God, for what you're doing and birthing new ministry in people's hearts in this congregation. I'm thankful for that. It's thrilling. It's thrilling to know that the Spirit is working in you, that you've grown to that point, that you have received Christ, that you've learned to relate to what it means to be a believer, and now you are willing and ready to respond to what Jesus Christ left you here to do. That is exciting, folks. To see the different ministries in our church that I don't thank God enough for that you participate in. If you're here right now, and this may sound silly to people who aren't a part of this ministry. Maybe you're visiting. You're like, man, I wanted some preaching this morning. This doesn't preach to you. Something's wrong with you. Let the testimony of what God's doing in the lives of these people preach to you, please. Don't count on me today. I'm just a humble guy who's repenting that I'm not thankful to God enough for all these people that we're going to say thank you to God for today. If you're here and you're a part of our cleaning crew, let me tell you what that means. For a lot of you people who don't understand this, I'm firmly convicted that the day that we think we have to hire a cleaning crew to take care of our building from some outside source, I'm firmly convicted that that is the day that I resign as your pastor. Because I promise you this, if we won't scrub toilets for Jesus Christ, we won't do anything for Him. So there are people who every single week devote hours of their time. You look around and this place is clean. Unless my kids have come through, then it's kind of sketchy. But this place is clean. And you know what? There's not this magic fairy who comes down and sprinkles pixie dust on the place so that it gets clean. These are men and women of this body of Christ who said, you know what, I no longer want to just sit in a pew. I want to actually do something to serve others. Did you see how many times Paul commended the church for serving those of the faith? For helping them? Here's the thing. Let me tell you something. Those of you who are not on the cleaning crew, this is not to guilt you into being on the cleaning crew. If God doesn't lead you, please don't, because you won't give any effort into it. But for those of you who sat down on a clean toilet this morning, can I just be frank with you? It's because someone was willing to serve God to the point where they scrubbed that toilet and they cleaned that thing for you and for me. Let me tell you this. I don't even like lifting the seat on or cleaning my own toilet. So I understand this. I understand that when you do that, it's a great sacrifice. But let me say this. You don't do it for me. You don't do it for this building. You do it because God has planted in you a desire to serve, and this is how you serve. If you're part of our cleaning crew, would you stand to your feet right now? Don't be ashamed. You say a cleaning crew, is it that big a deal? Yes. It'd be a big deal if you sat down on a toilet that wasn't clean. It needs to be a big deal when you sat down on one that is clean. And here's the thing, it's not just the toilets. They clean up that foyer and clean up all the donut stuff that your children get everywhere. How does donut glaze get strewed all over that? I don't know. We have napkins. But these people clean that. They sacrifice their time. And I want to say this, thanks to God for you. Oh, I've thanked most of you personally. When I see you in your work, I say thank you. But that thank you comes from me. I want to thank God for you. Because without you, guess what? We come into a dirty building every week that's going to fall in because we didn't take care. We were not good stewards of what God blessed us with. That's why I say I don't think we should ever hire a cleaning crew, because we need to be the stewards over what God has blessed us with. And this is what God has blessed us with. Thank you so much. Thank you, God, for allowing these people to have the strength to do it, because I know it's a sacrifice. I know that sometimes you have other things you would rather be doing than scrubbing toilets at the church or mopping the floor or vacuuming this or trying to straighten up these chairs. I get it. And even greater than that, God gets it. And I promise you, He's the strength that you need to keep doing what you do. And I thank God for you. Father, I thank you so much for these who are willing to serve you by being nothing, by being the lowest of low servants to clean your house where your people meet to worship. God, I know this, that they're great in your eyes because they're doing it for you, the servant's heart. Lord, I pray you continue to bless them as they bless others by their heart. It says, I want to be a servant to the Most High God in everything I do, even if it's cleaning a building, if it's cleaning a bathroom. Thank you for them. Thank you for their lives. You guys can be seated. What about this? What about these guys back here that nobody ever looks at? I'm going to put these all in one category. Okay? We have these sound guys, and you know what I hate? I hate this, man. This burns me up. I know your grandma told you you're not supposed to hate anything. That's not true. Hate things that are worthy to be hated. I promise you. I hate when someone complains about what they do. They're just off on about four of them songs. They just couldn't get it right. Really? If you're caught up in that, let me just help you. You're not caught up in Jesus. Here's what you do when that happens. Just don't try to sing the word. Just stop and say, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. And I promise by the time you say it three or four times, they'll have it back where it needs to be. Because guess what? We have a group of humans back here who sacrifice a lot of time. Most of you couldn't even turn most of those machines on back there. And yet they actually do their best that they can to run them. And I'm thankful to God for what they do. We're going to put this all, the sound, the media, those of you guys who play in the band, and I know this, man. Hey, guess what? Nobody's trying to sign a record deal with us right now. Here's what I'm telling you. I've been in those churches. That's okay. That's okay because you know what? I know the heart of each and every person who's up here. And I know this, that at the end of the day, their heart is to glorify God and to sing praise to Him. They're not trying to get a record deal. So here's the cool thing about that. It's just God doing a work through them. Guess what? We had a drummer get up today and say, well, our guitarist is out. I'm going to do my best. He grabbed a guitar, and I was like, oh, no, here we go. Chance with toys. That thing makes a lot of noises. And once he figures this out, we're in trouble. But I'm thankful for their willingness to not be in the spotlight so somebody can say, oh, you're so awesome. But just to take the time so that you folks can sing praise to your God. I'm thankful to God for their willingness to do this. They get here early every single Sunday before most of you get up. They miss out on the donuts because they're gone after y'all all eat them. And usually the coffees burn or gone before they're through practice. But I'm thankful for what these people do, because guess what? Y'all stand up. All you people with sound, media, worship, you're in the worship band when you stand up. And I'm thankful to God. Let me say I'm thankful to God for each and every one of you. Because it's no fun. I've had those Sundays early on when y'all were all out of town doing something, and I was here by myself, and it was just me and the old guitar. And I'm thankful. We get to come and listen, all we get to do is praise Jesus and hope you guys follow along with us, because that's what we're here to do. We don't ever want this to be a show about who's the best, because none of us are good at all. And we know that. And I pray that we continue to know that, that everything that we have comes from God, and we know it's not much, but we're going to offer it back to Him. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your sacrifice. Katie's back there learning. She's fixing to be clicking for Christ. But she's willing. She's willing to say, what can I do? What can I do to serve others on a Sunday morning? Because guess what? If she's not doing what she does, you got a black screen up there. So I was convicted. Lord, I don't thank you enough for these folks. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for our worship team, those in sound and media, those who play instruments. Lord, we give you all the praise. Because that's what our heart is. Our heart is to lift you up. You might draw men unto yourself. Lord, I pray that you continue to do that. I pray that you use us in our limited ability, but you use us to bring you praise and honor and glory through the singing of songs. Thank you for each individual who surrendered their lives serving you in that area. And y'all be seated. Is it okay if I just go down the whole list? I got a big list. Because a lot of times people who just are pew warmers, they don't understand what goes on. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not saying thank you to God for those people who fill a pew on Sunday morning and that's all they do. Because that would be a lie, because I'm really not thankful to God for them. What I say to God for them, Lord, spur them on through your Spirit. Get them to the point where they're actually responding to serving. But I am thankful for guys like this. How many of you guys come up here on Saturday to clean the lawn? Mow the lawn. Y'all stand up. If you're on the lawn team, I know it. We don't want to be recognized. Listen, I'm recognizing you so we can praise God for you. Somebody asked me, well, when we get in a new building, are we going to get a lawn and maintenance crew to come do it? No. That would be just stupid unless all of our men died or were sent off to war. What do you mean are we going to do it? And women, sorry, Kelly. And women, sorry. Don't get offended. Ruins the whole message. But the fact of the matter is these guys and girls, I didn't realize we had two girls on our mowing crew. That's pretty impressive. Ladies, I think they just upped the ante on y'all. What's that? Zero turn, yeah. And they can ride a zero turn, run the thing, not hit anything that we know of. But listen, you know what these folks do? Pay attention. And I'm thankful to God for this. Sometimes Saturday morning, when I'm fishing, if I get an opportunity to go fishing, I wish it was every Saturday. It don't work like that. I know you think it does. I usually fish Monday through Saturday, and it's only work on Sunday. I can know this. I don't have to worry about what this place is going to look like when a visitor walks up because the lawn's going to be cut most weeks. Unless it like rained 1,000 inches the night before and the grass grows overnight. Because we have had that happen. He's like, Glenn, what's the deal? He's like, man, that grew overnight. And I thought he was messing with me, but it does sometimes grow overnight. Those Johnson weeds do. So I'll cut you some slack there. 2 weeks, you're in trouble. But here's the thing, on Saturdays when I'm out doing whatever and y'all are out doing whatever, guess what? There are people up here early in the morning on their Saturday off. And they're up here and they're mowing the grass. They're trimming stuff. They're making sure everything looks nice for the rest of you when you come in. And I don't thank God near enough for you guys. Now here's the thing, I'll be honest, I've griped when the Johnson weeds are too high. I've griped directly to you. What, y'all taking a week off? And I'm wrong for that. I'll tell you that. I'm wrong. You know what I need to do? I need to say, you know what? 1 week out of 52, there's some Johnson grass. When it's people who are giving their time and their service to God, God, thank you so much for them. Thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for these who are part of our lawn and maintenance crew. God, I thank you that they take their time not only to mow the grass, rake leaves. Lord, they maintain our mowers, weed eaters, blowers, and all the things that you've blessed us with. I thank you so much for their willingness to serve you. God, I pray that they would praise you and continue to just be excited about the opportunity they have to be lawn people for the Lord Jesus Christ, to take care of his property so that others can come here, so that others can see it as inviting and hear the gospel truth that we find in your word. Thank you so much for their servant heart. Continue to bless them as they serve you. Thank you, God. Thank you to God for what you do. Now see, he's trying to guilt. He's trying to guilt. He's trying to promote. I'm going to say this. If the Spirit leads you to do something, do it. If the Spirit doesn't lead you to do something, you don't have the power to do it. So don't give us some false vow and false commitment that you're not going to carry out. We got preteen leaders, kids church leaders. You know, when you drop your kids off somewhere, you drop your kids off with people who care about them. Our preteen leaders, our kids church leaders. If you're a preteen leader, a kids church leader, this is the trenches, folks. This is where I'm not willing to go. If you're a preteen leader or a kids church leader, would you stand up? Because here's the thing about them. It's tough on them because guess what? Kids know what they are. They're kids. Preteeners, they're not sure what they are yet, so they're really going to test you. Y'all stay up. And there's some up there, listen, there's some up in kids church, and Rob's up there in the balcony. But there's some up in kids church right now, sharing and teaching the Word of God with the servant's heart, good attitude most of the time. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard sometimes to have a good attitude with some of y'all's kids. Huh? My wife sometimes comes home and she says, I think I've aged out. But I know this, she's only fooling. Because she really has a heart for them. She really has a heart to see those young students grow in faith in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God today. I want you to know that I'm thankful for each and every one of you who do what I promise you I'm not willing to do. I used to do it on Wednesday nights. I retired. Because I promise, I just don't have it. The Lord's going to have to do a work in me if I'm ever going to get it back. Because it's gone. I've already done enough camps, camp outs, and all lock-ins, and all the stuff I'm going to do. But I thank you that you're willing to do that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rob, for leading the preteens on Wednesday night and their events. And Angie, wherever she's not here today, but his spouse, but his partner in crime. But thank you for what each of you do. We do a neat thing here where they rotate. And we don't put some lady up there and just let her get burned out. Right? So she just leaves church completely and says, I'm never going back. And her hair's like, ah! We rotate them. How many weeks up if it gets church? 7 weeks. Every 7 weeks, they take their turn up there to serve. I'm thankful that we can do things like that. And I'm thankful to God. I want to say a prayer for you guys as well. Lord, I thank you so much for these ladies and these men who are committed to our children here at Key Life, to our preteen. God, I thank you that you've grown them to the point where they can encourage others to grow and to learn. Thank you so much that they're a part of this church. They could be in any church in America, any church in this area. Lord, you have them here by your divine appointment, by your will, that they may serve you here at Key Life Fellowship. And I want you to just reaffirm in them the gift that you've given them, empower them, strengthen them by your Spirit to keep doing what others aren't willing to do. God, I thank you so much for them. I pray these things in your name. We got some other people that sometimes they get overlooked. Because you're busy taking a piece of paper from them. If you're one of our greeters, you're the people who are signed at our doors each day to hand out bulletins. Anybody like that? This is for all you people who say, oh, just don't do much for Jesus. Listen, you're the first face some people see at this church. So it's a very important thing that when they see your face, they see that you are here to serve them, to help them, to lead them to wherever they're going. Because guess what? They have all kinds of questions for you. Where do I drop off the kids? Where do I go? Where is the restroom? Probably number one question, right? Where are the restrooms? They want to receive that bulletin from you because it's their first time. They want to know what Key Life Fellowship is all about. What in the world is going on? What kind of church have I stepped off into? You're the first face that they see. If you're one of our greeters, would you stand up? You're on our greeter team. Anybody here? Let me say this, I thank God for you. I do. I thank God that you're willing. You miss out when you're a greeter. I promise you, because there's all these cool conversations. You're not finding out what deer so-and-so killed this weekend. Or the football game. You're not finding out all that good info because you're concentrating on standing at that door, giving those bulletins. You have a very important role, and I thank you so much for your service, your willingness to do that. To say, you know what, I'll give a few minutes on a Sunday morning so that people can feel welcome. You know what, I hear it all the time. From people who visit this church. Man, I came in there, I felt like I found my home the first Sunday that I walked in. Listen, you play an important role in that. Because you know what the number one complaint is when people go visit other churches? Man, I walked in, I was there for an hour. Nobody even said hi to me. That's why your job is so important. First, when they first get to this door, you get to say, hello, how are you doing? With a big smile on your face. You get to give them a bulletin. Let me tell you, you don't think that's an important job until you go to a church where they don't have those people who are that smiling face that they need to see, full of joy in seeing you come to visit this fellowship and to be a part of this fellowship. Thank you. Thank you, God, for these people. Lord, I thank you so much for their willingness to just stand by a door and to hand things out for you. Lord, I know to our human mind doesn't seem like a real important task or a noble cause, but Lord, I know this, your word teaches that we ought to greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your joy, your enthusiasm would overwhelm them. And that enthusiasm and that joy for you and for your kingdom would permeate out of them as they stand at those doors each week and they serve others, giving them the bulletins, leading them to the place that they need to go. God, that others would come to this church and feel welcome because of the folks there at those doors, giving of their time and service to you. We give you praise for them. In Jesus' name. You guys be seated. This is the one I really wouldn't do. If you're a nursery worker here today, you change diapers for Jesus. Let me say this. To some of these people, that might go unnoticed. But to your God in heaven, I promise you, that doesn't go unnoticed. You think, well, I just don't do much for Jesus because I don't know a whole lot of Bible and I can't sing pretty and all these things. Let me tell you, you do what no one else is willing to do when you change a poopy diaper for Jesus. And I'm thankful for you nursery workers. You folks who are in a nursery and preschool, y'all stand up for me real quick. And I believe if Paul was writing a letter, he'd say it in the Greek, so he would say, thank you for changing the scubula-filled diapers each Sunday morning. You say, man, they're just babysitting so that the parents can come in the church. That's exactly what they're doing, and who really wants to do that? I know this. I know it is a sacrifice for you when you miss out on worship. You think something's going on in here that you're going to miss out on. Here's what's going on in here. I'll help you out. I'm preaching about the same Jesus I preached about last week. I'm just coming from a different angle. So you're really not missing out, but what you are doing is you're keeping someone else who's never heard that message, or that message has never really clicked in their heart, you're keeping them from having to not be in here to take care of a child. And I say thank you. And thank you to God for your willingness to do that. I know that's a position that I am sure it is easy to gripe about. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, it is a ministry. And it is a ministry to the little one, to the least of these. Those little things that can't even talk, some of them still look like rats. Right? All you mamas get mad at me, but your baby look like a rat. You think it's pretty, it's not pretty yet. It will get pretty. But you folks are willing to minister to them. I know. It's a sacrifice. It takes a lot. Let me say this, even better than that. God knows that. The same Jesus who said, don't keep those little ones from coming to me, is the same Jesus who's going to reward you in heaven for taking care of those little ones each and every time you serve him in that nursery. And I want to say this, I'm thankful to God for you. If you don't believe me, we're going to do an experiment that we ought to be thankful to God for our nursery workers. Next week, everybody bring your babies in here. No, that's a joke. I would leave halfway through the service. Y'all be like, yes, we can make it to the Texans kickoff. But thank God for each of you. I believe if Paul was writing a letter to Key Life Fellowship, your name would be in that letter. He would say, thank you for your sacrifice taking care of those little ones so that their parents can receive the Word of God, that they might be saved and they might grow in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these who are willing to love the little ones, to lead this group, who are willing to love the little ones. I thank you specifically for those leaders who are here to make those schedules, to pray about exactly who to put where. God, I thank you for those who are willing to go there, to take care of these preschoolers and these infants and toddlers, to make sure that they're hearing the Word of truth, even at a young age, that they're loving them most of all like Jesus Christ would love them. I thank you that through their ministry, countless parents have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because these folks were willing to take their kids for just a little while, to remove that from their life that they could focus on you. I thank you for that. I thank you for each of them. In Jesus' name. Let me see. Is it okay if I go on a little longer? I got a whole list. I didn't know how long this would go, but as I started writing out the list, I got overwhelmed about how much I should be thankful to God for about what you folks do. Because I don't do a whole lot in comparison to what you do collectively, I promise. Wouldn't do most of it anyway. But you're willing to do that. I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful that we have a men's ministry that meets on Thursday night. If you're part of that men's huddle, I want you to stand up right now. I'm thankful for their leadership, Glenn, and what you do, seeking what God has for them. Thankful for all you others that aid him and that help him. I know Mark helps him a lot. Glenn's out. Mark takes the reins. And all you guys step up. I've listened at the door lots of times. And people ask me, how come you don't come? I want that to be your thing. Y'all want me to come? Just invite me. I'll come. But when I come, Glenn gets all nervous because he thinks I'm going to punch him or something. Y'all got to know mine and Glenn's relationship. We're always trying out new things we see on TV on each other. Sometimes he gets me in holds I can't get out of, or something like that. But I'm thankful for you guys, for your willingness. Guess what these guys do? If they're part of men's huddle, guess what? They give up another night of their week voluntarily to come up here, and their theme is iron sharpens iron. They stole that from Scripture. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. They come up here and you know what they do? They fellowship with one another. They take the Word of God. They learn. They learn to apply the Word of God. They pour out their hearts in the deep, dark secrets to each other. They minister to one another. Because I can promise you, if you're part of the men's huddle, you not only have you ministered to another man who's in this group, but another man in this group or several have ministered back to you. And I'm thankful for each of you men. I'm thankful to God for what He's doing in that ministry. I'll say this. If you're a man here, you meet the criteria. Come on and join them, right? Or if you're just a sissy girl, don't worry about it. You guys sit down. Thank you, Lord, for these men, for their lives and willingness to serve you, to learn your word, to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. Lord, I thank you that they're willing to hold each other accountable and to be men of God in a time and in a place where it's not the popular thing to do. God, I pray you continue to encourage them and empower them by your Spirit to continue to do that. We pray these things in Christ's name. Ladies ministry, I'm not going to leave you out. Y'all stand up. Where's Paula? Is Paula McFarland here? She's homesick. Hugh, where are you? I knew I saw you, Hugh. Hugh, where are you? Hugh, stand up and represent your wife as the ladies ministry leader. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that! I'm just joking! She's home right now stressing out of what her next Bible study she's going to do. And she does stress out. I'm like, Paula, just calm down. It's going to be all right. Teach the Bible. People hear the Bible. People grow. You know what I'm talking about. He's like, yes, he does. But she's learning. It's good to see her learning. You ladies who are part of ladies' ministry, not just on the Fridays, you're part of those teams of ladies. This is part of our ladies' ministry. You cook for people when they're sick. You cook for people when they have babies. You cook for people when they're homebound. All those things. If you're part of that, would you stand up right now? You say, I cook, I'm on that list. And they get me to make a casserole. I know there's more than Wendy who makes casserole. Let me tell you how important this is. When somebody has a family member that passes away, the last thing that they want to think about is, what am I going to do to eat? But sometimes you guys get together and you provide that for them. When they're in the hospital, they've had surgery, and they can't cook. And you are there and you greet them that first night that they come home with a full course meal because all of you got together and you ministered to them. That's a very important thing. That's being Christ to people who are in need, people who are hurting. Here's the neat thing about that. When you have someone that you know that maybe we don't know, who needs this ministry, let someone know. Hey, is there any way that we could have some ladies do a meal for it? We have it happen all the time. Here's what you don't need to do. You don't need to sit back and go, nobody did a meal for me. They didn't know you needed a meal. So let us know, and I promise you this, you let the church office know that we need a meal. There are ladies, they're standing here, and there's more of them, I know, and some of them are out, I guess. But there are ladies who at the drop of a hat can put a meal together that will make you slap your mama. And it's the truth. It's because their husbands help them at home. They just take credit for it. But not really. But I'm thankful to God. I really am. I'm thankful to God. I thought about this. I told you I had a big list. I'm thankful. How many of you have, here's where it gets real. How many of you have received meals from some of these people who minister to your family when you had a baby or you were sick, someone in your family passed away? Hands all over the place. Is that a ministry that ministered to you when you were in need? I thank God for that. I thank God that these ladies and sometimes men are willing to do those things. And I want to thank God for them. Lord, I thank you so much for these ladies and these men who take part in ministering to others. Lord, this ladies' ministry means so much to our church. They teach each other and they grow from each other. Lord, sometimes it seems like a simple task to put a meal together, but there's so many things that have to fall in place. And Lord, I thank you that you give them the ability and the strength, desire to be a part of something like that. And I thank you, God, for the families who have received love through the Spirit working through these ladies. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name. You guys, ladies, can be, go ahead and sit for a second. I don't want to leave anyone out, so I'm making sure that I, because there's a bunch more, but I'm really worried about time because I'm sure y'all have something better to do. Then listen to me. But if nothing else, listen, 52 weeks out of the year, I get to minister to you. I promise you right now, this is ministering to me in my heart to just reflect and to say, Lord, sometimes it's easy to gripe about what's not going on, but I'm thankful, God, for what you are doing. Because I promise you this, 2009, just a short time ago, there was no such thing as Key Life Fellowship. There was no such thing. Is this body of believers who God has richly blessed with so many resources and so much giftedness and so much talent that can be used for His glory. And I'm thankful, and I want to mention everyone that I can. And if I leave you out for whatever strange reason, it's because I'm an idiot. And you can just chalk that up. He's thankful, but he left me out because he's an idiot. But there's a new group of folks that ministers to our widows and our widowers. Let me say this, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that someone saw that need and said, you know what, we have some widows, we have some widowers in our congregation. They noticed that there's going to be a void in their life. And they noticed this, that as a church, it's our duty to try to fill that void. It's our duty. In fact, the Word of God says that is pure religion. That's when it's the real deal, when you're willing to minister to those folks, those orphans, those widows, those people that are in need. So if you're a part of that ministry, and I'm not even sure, it's so new that I know there's a cool catchy name, I'm sure, but I don't know what that cool catchy name is. But I know this, I know Donna McCleskey came to me. Is Donna here? She, sick baby. Hey, tell her we'll partner for sick baby. The thing is, Donna came to me and she was so nervous, it was so funny. I wish she was here so that I could make fun of her in front of her. She's almost shaking, she was so nervous to talk to me. I said, why are you so afraid to talk to me? I don't know. It's like she went to the principal's office for the first time. Like, I'm just a normal dude. What do you have going on? She said, I just don't want you to think it's a bad idea, and it's really something God's put on my heart, and I see a need in our church to minister to the widows and the widowers in our church and to the elderly who need that kind of love. Maybe they don't have family around to take care of them. Maybe we can do some. I was like, whoa, stop, just time out. That is definitely a need in our church. That's a need in every church. That's a need that I'm thankful that God has put on your heart to lead something to do for these people who are definitely in need of that kind of love. And let me say this. You may not think that's a big deal, but until you've lost someone, because here's the thing, I can't really comprehend. I've never lost my spouse. For those of you who have, you know this. You need someone to come and to love you and to minister to you in some way, shape, or form. If it's as simple as writing you a card to say, hey, I'm praying for you and I'm thinking about you. Does that mean something to you? Because you know what? I believe this. I believe if Paul was standing here today, he would say, thank you so much, God, for those who are a part of that ministry. If you're a part of that ministry, and I know it's a new ministry, but y'all had a meeting just a few weeks ago, and there's 8 or 10 of y'all that said, I wanted to be a part of this. If you're a part of that ministry, would you stand up for me? I know Donna's not here right now. Maurice, if you would you stand in Donna's place for us? And that's not just a joke. It was just a joke for you when we were talking about ladies' ministry. Look, these people, yes, sir. Share that with us. That's Donna. That's the catchy name, carrying for God's glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it wasn't necessarily just her. It could have been some of these who take part in that, because I know a lot of you got together. And it really doesn't matter. And I know they don't care, but that's what they did. They got together and they wrote these things. And they invited them. They're going to have a lunch where they just take those people and just show them, hey, you know what? I know that there are some days that it feels like the whole world is still falling apart. And I can never, ever, ever imagine what you're going through. But the least that we can do is to take the burden off of you, what you're going to eat today. Let us buy you something. Listen, folks, that was birthed in a lady who she thought she was going to come to me with some crazy idea. And I said, praise God. I really did. This was one of the times where I knew where I could, praise God. Praise God that someone is willing to do something as simple as sit down and write a card to say, hey, we love you and we want you to go to lunch with us. We want to treat you. We don't want you to have to worry about a thing. I pray that each of you, if you're here and you're a widow or you're a widower, you're someone who's elderly and you can't take care of some things, please do not hesitate to let us know. We have a group of people here, don't we? You're looking at them. There's more than this that usually are here. We have a group of people who are willing to help you out. And that goes anything from taking you out to eat, to raking your yard, to changing your oil in your car. She showered me with ideas that she had that she could minister to these people. And I promise you, some of that, I know that they went out one day and cleaned a lady's house. Miss Dory's not here today. Miss Dory had surgery and she needed someone to help clean her house. And some of these ladies went over there and they helped clean her house. And I promise you this, that lady was very thankful for what they had done for her. So I want to thank God for each of you right now. Lord, I thank you so much for these who are willing to go out and care beyond just the everyday caring. They're willing to sacrifice themselves, their time, even their money, their effort, to reaching these that are hurting and lost their spouses. Lord, I know this. We can never, ever fill that void. But Lord, we can encourage them through the midst of their pain. God, I thank you for the encouragement that these ministers are going to bring to the lives of those who have lost their loved ones, those who seem to be all alone. Lord, that they would realize that they're not alone. There's a group of people who will embrace them, will help them in any way they can. We just give you praise and honor and glory. Those of you who've lost someone and you are all alone, you know this. I've talked enough of you to know this, that the devil likes to discourage you by telling you, you're just all by yourself. There's really no reasoning going on. And here's the thing. You need these people to come around you and say, oh, there's reason to go on. You still have breath in your lungs. You still have a pulse in your heart. God's purpose is not fulfilled as far as you're concerned on this earth yet. So you keep on keeping on. Thank you for encouraging these people to do that. I want to talk about one more group, and they're the ones that you don't know right now. They are watching everything. They're watching everything. Your car is not going to get broken into. Okay, I promise you. If it does here, it's going to be a miracle. It was just meant to be that your car was broken into. And if your car is broken into, I promise you somebody else is going to get something broken on them before they get out of the parking lot. Because there's a group of guys who we affectionately call the parking lot ninjas. And they can't hear me right now, and that's okay. I want to thank God for them. Some of you might be in here. If you're a parking lot ninja and you're off duty today, if you're here and you sign up on the security team, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Thank you. You're part of the security team. Listen, these guys give up their time in worship. How many of you ever been to a church where they didn't have security and bad things happened? You come out and 15 cars got broken into. These guys live for that kind of action. I promise you, I think my dad sits out there every day praying somebody will try to break into a car. Kevin does too. I'm thankful that we can meet in here. We know this, that every one of these entrances and exits are secure. That parking lot secure. That those babies down there, I promise you, they're secure. You don't have to worry about a thing. People ask me all the time, well, how secure is your nursery area? Because they're worried about their baby. I was like, well, he has a 40 cal on his hip, and he's in full uniform. He's ready to rock and roll if need be. Really, y'all have a policeman that guards your nursery? We do, most every Sunday, a uniformed police officer who guards our children. And listen, I'll say this. I'm thankful to God for that. You know what? Most places have to pay money to get a uniformed cop to do that. You know what he did? He went to his superiors and he filed an extra job request for him. And so they think he's on an extra job right now. The only difference, he ain't making $30 or $40 an hour. He's doing it because that's his service to the Lord. And I promise you this, your kids may not learn a thing while they're down there in the nursery. They will. They're going to know Mr. John when they get out of there. He's going to know every one of them by name. You go down and he blows me away. He knows every one of our kids that come in our nursery by name. These guys here that guard our doors and our entrances and our parking lot, they have a good time doing it. Bunch of Paul Blarts. I'm going to get them some Segways. Anyone want to donate the money for a Segway? No, I'm just kidding. But I'm thankful. And listen. I'm thankful for each and every one of them that give their time. They miss out. They're not with their family. When I see John, Wendy's in here and John's not here, I know John somewhere. I look, John will be watching the windows, watching the doors. I know when you're not in your places, that's where you are. I hope you're not in the deer stand, because then I'm just going to be jealous. But the fact of the matter is, these guys serve just like anyone else. And I'm thankful for that. What I'm also thankful for is this. There's a lot of guys, guess what? They're never going to be gifted to be a Bible study teacher. It's not going to happen. Did you know that's a gift? Not everybody has it. Here's the thing. Does that mean you can't serve the Lord because you don't get on a stage to teach a Bible study or preach a message or sing a song? Absolutely not. These guys have realized we can serve the Lord by keeping things secure. These are the guys who are the watchmen over our congregation when we're here. And I'm thankful to God for them. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about a thing. Because I know this. They got to get through these guys before they get in here. And I'm thankful for that. I talked to somebody just the other day, and they were having some weird stuff going on in their church, and some sketchy things happening, people coming in and taking pictures during their service and then walking out. I said, and it's a pretty big church. I said, you don't have any security at your church at all? They were like, no. I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Guys, do you understand that there are people who hate us just because we're Christians? And they want bad things to happen to us. And I don't have a problem at all, because here's the thing. People say, well, you're just living in fear. I don't fear at all because I know these guys are out there doing what they're supposed to do. I don't live in fear at all. And I'm thankful to God that each and every one of you sacrificed your time to do that. Thank you so much. I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these guys who work as our ninjas, our parking lot ninjas, our security team here. God, thank you for their willingness to miss the service, to stand in the parking lot, sometimes when it's rainy, sometimes when it's cold, sometimes when it's extremely hot. Make sure that nothing happens to anybody's possessions here, that nothing happens to any person in this congregation. Lord, I'm thankful that they have found a way to serve you in this regard. Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that you would put angels around them, that you would give them keen senses when they take that role. Lord, that you would continue to use them to protect this congregation from anything on the outside that may come forth. Lord, I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their commitment to you, most of all. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There are many of you who work different kind of missions thing, and I promise you this is going to be my last one. For all you people who say, man, when he just showed up, we've heard about everything. I promise you this, I'm not doing this to highlight these ministries. I'm doing this to highlight the one who gives you the power to do the ministry. I'm doing this because I hadn't taken enough time to say thank you, God, for all these folks and what they do. If you're involved in any of our missions ministry, you work with our mission team that goes over, that went over to Louisiana, you worked with them. You're part of sharing Christ's love, where you go downtown to the homeless people and you hand out blankets and jackets and all those hygiene products and all the things that you do. You're part of our four missions group. Miss Kim's here. We have four missionaries, folks that are part of our church, that they're not here right now because they're out there in the world that you don't even know of, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like for all of y'all who are here and you're part of some type of missions or ministry outreach of program and ministry of Key Life, would you stand up right now? JD is our guy who heads that up and so many rounds. And Kim, she is our liaison to Harvest Seekers, which is in Africa. You guys stand up, Kim Steck. You get in trouble. Miss Jean, you better stand up too. Miss Jean's kind of our connection over at the mission, and they do a lot of local ministry and work and mission group there. And what a lot of people forget is that's where Key Life Fellowship started, over there we're at Mission Northeast, where Gene serves the community several days a week. Are you every day or just, what's that? 3 days. 3 days a week she's over there and she's serving the community and reaching out to people and sometimes helping us locate fugitives who might be hiding in there. So the thing is, these people are involved in our mission efforts, not just here, but also around the world. And I promise you, I don't thank God enough for those people and what they do. Miss Jean here, she helps those people that come in and they're in need. And Kim Steck, she helps. She's the U.S. side of Harvest Seekers. She helps the operation that's going on. She really runs it over in Africa. And I can say that because the boss lady ain't here. You tell her I said it. And Joy and JD, they stepped up this last year and they've gone on a mission trip to Africa. They were involved in the Judea Project over in Baton Rouge and devoted several weeks going over there and loving on those people and serving those people. And so I want to say this. I thank God for each of you and your efforts to serve Him and to minister to others in the area of mission. And I promise you, they all have room for any help. Where's Kim? Stand up! Kim's one of the ones that came to me and said, I feel a burden for the homeless people. She was taking her daughter to the doctor's appointment down there and saw the homeless people standing in food lines. And she said, Lord, listen, if you want to see your life drastically messed up and used for God's glory, say something like this, Lord, what can I do? That's all you got to do. Lord, what can I do? And then from that, she's now taking blankets and groups from this church. If you've been on a trip, how many of you have been on a trip with sharing, covered with love? I said sharing God's love. Sorry, I messed that up. The little catchy names get me. The people who take blankets to homeless people. Covered with love. How many of you have participated in covered with love? Stand up. I went down there with you. That's ministry. That's service. Wendy, while she was down there, gave away Aaron's heirloom toboggan that her great-great-grandmother made for her to a homeless person. That's not really what happened. Aaron left her. Why are y'all sitting down? I didn't tell any of y'all to sit down. Aaron left her toboggan in the foyer right before we went down there to pass out toboggans and blankets. It was cold. And somebody left their toboggan there on the table. And it was actually Aaron. And Wendy said, ooh, a toboggan. I should take this down to some of the homeless people. So what she did was she took it down and gave it to a homeless lady. Well, I knew it was Aaron's toboggan. We had already figured out, oh, that was Aaron's toboggan, and they didn't go down on that trip, but Aaron and Philip were up there doing something, and Aaron had set her toboggan down on the table, so Wendy just picked it up, thinking, this will bless a homeless person who has a cold head. So she went down there, and it was all crocheted, knitted, whatever that is. I think it may be crocheted. I'm not really familiar with those terms. If I was, I wouldn't act like it because y'all would think I was feminine then. But I went down there, and we went down there, and I saw Wendy with it. I thought, that's strange. She must just going to wear Aaron's hat because it was cold. Well, you did wear it, didn't you? She did. She had it on. And so we get ready. Let me tell a story. So we get ready to leave, and I notice Wendy doesn't have a hat on anymore. I said, Wendy, what did you do with that toboggan? That was Aaron's toboggan. She said, I gave it to a lady. I said, oh, no, Wendy. She was like, what? What was that? That was Aaron's great-grandmother crocheted that for Aaron when she was little. And her parents just handed it down to her. It's like a very special family heirloom. And we got to do something about it. And y'all know what? Wendy was about to go back to that homeless lady and ask for the hat back. I said, could you imagine you walk up to a lady who had a freezing head out on the street, gave her a hat, and then said, I'm going to need that back because it belongs to my friend. That was just a made-up story, by the way. But the thing is, it was fun to go on a trip and to watch these people eager to serve. They would almost knock you down, get the people, to show them the love of Christ. By nothing more than, here, let me give you a blanket because you're cold. Did you know that's being Jesus to people? When you were hungry, you fed me. You were cold, you gave me that blanket, that coat, you took care of me when I needed you to take care of me. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for each of you participating in those types of ministries, going overseas to share the love of Christ. You people who constantly are looking for people who you can love and share the gospel with. Let me thank God for you. God, I thank you for these folks. Thank you for their willingness to go above and beyond and serve in places where most people wouldn't even go. To approach people that most people wouldn't even approach. And to do nothing more than to share the love of Christ with them in hopes that they would see the light that you've placed inside of them. That they would see that light and that they would be drawn to that light. That they could have the opportunity to share your love and your gospel message with them. God, I pray for great things through their willingness to continue to go and to love people like you love people. And I praise you for them. I thank you, God, for their willingness to be Jesus to those people who may not ever see Jesus in that way. In Jesus' name. So I'm at the point where I have to just say, and etc. Because I know y'all are tired of listening. I know this is not the normal. This is maybe not exciting to some of you. I'll be honest with you, this is probably one of the most exciting services that I've been a part of in a long time. Because what we've done here today is we've highlighted our Father in heaven. And I'm thankful to God. Let me say this. I'm thankful to God. I promise you, if I sat here and I thought about each and every one of you, God would give me reason to be thankful. Number one, you're here with us today. Whether you're a visitor or whether you've been a member for a long, long time, I'm thankful that to God that you are here this very moment, sharing this time with us. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to our Heavenly Father. Thank you to you for being obedient to our Heavenly Father in the things that you do. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, this stuff just really doesn't make sense to me, Kirk. I don't really get this. Chances are that you don't really get what we're talking about today because you really don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't say that to offend you. I say it because that's the truth, because I promise you this. Before I was a follower of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have gotten this. I would have really been bored and maybe even just kind of turned off by the fact that this guy's thinking God for all this stuff that I really don't care anything about. But you know what? I'm here to tell you today. There's a God in heaven, and there's a Jesus who came to this earth and died on the cross so that you could receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And the works that we've seen today that these people are doing are not because they woke up one day and said, I think I want to be a good person. It's because when they were going along in their sin, minding their own business, God interrupted their life and He changed them forever. And He is making them into righteous people who reflect Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So I challenge you with this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day that you can repent of your sin. You can turn to Him as He comes to you by His Spirit, drawing you out of the darkness of your sin into the light of the salvation that He has made possible for you. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? And I promise you this, if that occurs in your life today, not only will you rejoice to God the Father for what He does in your life. Not only will I rejoice and thank God the Father for what He's done in your life, the Bible says the angels in heaven will rejoice and thank God the Father for what He's done in your life. Maybe you're here today. God has specifically put someone or something on your heart that you need to thank Him for. I pray today that we use this invitation time as a time to thank God for the things that maybe we miss and take for granted on a day-to-day basis. You're here today and you say, Kirk, I know I'm not a believer. I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm that guy or that gal that you talked about a second ago who's sitting here saying that this doesn't make sense. But you know this, that God is pulling at your heart right now. And He's pulling at your heart to pull you out of your sin into a relationship with Him that was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's pulling you into a relationship so that He can forgive you of all your sin, to cleanse you from all the evil that you've done, and to grant to you eternal life in heaven with Him forever. You say, Kirk, I know that's going on in my heart. I couldn't explain it like you just did, but I know something's happening inside of me. And I feel that God wants me to turn my life over to Him today and to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and to live for Him so that I can be serving Him, so that I can be ministering to others, so that He can be thanked and praised. Say that to me. Would you slip up your hand right now? Say, God is telling me that I need to surrender my life to Jesus today, that I need Him to forgive me of all my sin. Anyone here like that? Says, I feel God telling me this in my heart. Are you here today? Would you slip up your hand where I can pray with you, pray for you? Anyone like that? You're here today and you say, I'm a believer. And I'm thankful for a lot of things. But it's been a long time since I thank God for a lot of things. I pray that we would see the model that Paul has given us today. I'm thankful that I've seen it. And I'll say this, I'm sorry as your pastor that I've not thanked God enough for all the things that you do as a body of Christ. And I pray that from a year from now, He'd give me more and more and more reason through you to praise Him. Maybe you're like me. Oh, you're thankful in general. It's been a long time since you just thanked God for all that He's done. I invite you, these altars are open, get on your face before Him and say, God, first and foremost, forgive me that I've taken so many things for granted. God, I want to think, and here's what I believe. I don't care if it takes all day long. You got to leave, leave. I don't care if it takes all day long if people are on this altar pouring their heart out saying, God, I'm thankful for this. God, I'm thankful to You for that. God, I'm sorry that I took this for granted and that I'm taking this for granted. God, just do a work in me that I would thank You in every situation for who You are. Because I promise you this, that's never, ever, ever going to change. So we always have a reason. As the music plays, allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life.
Let us not lift our souls.